So, Danny, we're in the midst of the holiday season, and it seems a little weird that we're not outdoors more, walking around and looking at lights and caroling and all the things that we do in a traditional holiday season. How has your plans changed this year?
Not a whole lot, Jared. I usually like this is
Oh,
my
I
hibernation.
forgot. You're the Grinch. Never mind.
I kind of am the Grinch a little bit, but I've I online shop, and when I
Ooh.
go see lights, it's one of those like drive-through in your car. It syncs up the music, so I feel like I can still do all the things and stuff that I usually do. So if you're a hobbit like me, it doesn't feel that weird. Jared is on the
So
struggle bus, though.
you got to tell me something now, because I'm curious. Are you one of those people that likes to see like traditional lights, or do you like the high-tech synchronized shows?
I can go for both. I'm like starting to get to the part of adulthood where I'm like, yeah, let's go for a drive and look at lights. For a while, it wasn't a good time. But yeah, I'm down for
Can
both.
I tell you one thing that you may enjoy looking at some year, or at least listening to?
What?
One of my favorite parts of the holidays is when we get to hear the bells.
Mwah, Carol of the Bells. Well, Jared, I don't know if you've noticed, but this whole parenting thing has been a lot harder in 2020.
I know that I have many more opportunities for doors to be slammed around my house lately
Oh, that's
because we're
nice.
all together a lot more.
Isn't that lovely? While there are some bonuses, like being with your kids all the time, there's also some really hard things, like being with your kids all the time. And we have an expert here that's going to kind of help because we kind of straddle the world of parenting and being an educator and working with teachers, and we're all kind of at the end of our rope. So I'm hoping Ben can give us some good ideas today. What do you think, Jared?
I think that Ben is a great person to talk to when you're near the end of your rope.
All right. Well, with us today is Ben Springer. Ben is an award-winning and nationally certified school psychologist. Ben is also the author of the popular book, Happy Kids Don't Punch You in the Face. Ben received his master's and doctoral degrees from the University of Utah in educational psychology. Ben has worked professionally as a teacher, school psychologist, behavior specialist, and the director of special education. Currently, Ben works as the director of special ed in Wasatch County School District and manages Totem PD, a professional learning company focused on practical, ready-to-use tools for education. Ben is married with four lovely daughters, enjoys backpacking, fishing, and collecting comic books. Welcome, Ben.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
So, Ben, we've learned a lot about you through that bio. Especially, we're going to have to ask more about where you got the title, Happy Kids Don't Punch You in the Face.
Oh
That
man,
may be the greatest title of all time.
I'm so glad. Yeah, that's a legit actual training module. That's what it came out of all of my applications of applying positive psychology to managing aggressive behavior. And honestly, guys, that's the trick. Happy kids, they don't get angry and they don't freak out. So our jobs is to help improve their mood, man. That's the
All
aim.
right. Well, we've got some happy young students who have prepared some really tough questions for you if you
Excited.
are ready. Let's go to question number one.
What is your favorite subject?
My favorite subject in school was always art. I'm like a chronic doodler. So, kids,
Oh, nice.
keep on doodling. That's my
Get
response.
it. Is that where the comic book love came from as
Oh,
well?
totally. I love the graphic arts, and I'm obviously a nerd too, and for many different reasons. But it's kind of nice having kids of my own and seeing some of those skills develop. And I'm just like, yes, keep doodling. It's great.
All the doodles.
You know, I try and do. I saw a presentation on sketchnoting a few years ago, of
Ooh,
this
yes.
idea of instead of just taking your notes, right, that you draw what you're
Big
learning.
fan.
And I just find myself drawing a lot of stick figures or just random shapes to try to remind me of what I'm talking about because I am not a very good doodler.
Oh man, I like it's a whole art form to like doodle your notes. and draw. It's great. Even if it's stick figures, man. I want to encourage you, Jared. Continue.
I mean, I've seen Jared try and like write in cursive, so he may like need to like slow down a bit, but
Danny's just referencing a couple of years ago when I asked her what a capital Q in cursive looks like, because I have no idea. Like, I don't think I could make one right now if I was being paid.
No idea.
Really? All right. Next question.
It's not just me. All right. Let's go to our second kid question.
Ooh. That's a great question. It's a tie. Is that okay to say, kids? I have a tie with Thanksgiving and Christmas, okay? Thanksgiving because I love all the food. Mm-hmm. And Christmas is, my birthday is Christmas Eve. So it's kind of like
double celebration.
That's so fun. I feel like usually people with birthdays adjacent to Christmas don't love it. So it's great to hear that you do like it.
I'm one of those fellas that absolutely enjoys it. I feel like I get kind of like, you know, double celebration action. It's nice.
The whole world throws you a party.
This will tell you a little bit about my psychology and my ego. That's what I asked my mom when we were driving around as kids. It's like, are these for my birthday, Mom? She's like, oh, Ben.
No.
There's so many things wrong with this, and no.
Every house in the world puts up lights for your birthday.
And that gives you a little bit of an insight into the megalomania that was Ben Springer, or is. We'll see.
I was like, all right.
Oh, you just were a happy kid. You
know? My brothers knocked that right out of me really quickly in the backseat.
Let's go to our third question.
Ooh, man. This is a big deal, kids that are listening. It's not always just about school. It's also about having fun outside of school. I love being outdoors. So, you know, like the woods, rivers and streams, that's where I'd like to be. Even in the cold, I like to get out there. I met a teacher who said, there's no bad weather, just bad clothes. Just dress warm and get out there, kids. That's my
response. Danny, are you a winter camper?
Oh my gosh, no.
Camping for you in the winter is a 2-star hotel?
Sure.
Oh, for sure. I don't recommend camping in the winter, but in the daytime, definitely get out.
Yeah, I have a rule. I've been involved in scouts for a long time. Scout campouts are from basically March through November. We don't go the other 3 months. There's no way.
It would be foolish.
All right.
Well, Ben, you have definitely passed our kid questions, and we definitely got to learn a little bit more about you beyond your bio, especially to know that you now have parties all around the world on December 24th for you.
Absolutely. It's raging parties. I think the 23rd is called Ben Springer Eve. I'm not sure, but we can check that out.
It's weird that I've heard that.
That's what we call it around our house.
Oh, okay, great. We're on the same page. Every little boy gets a comic book. Every little girl gets a comic book. That's the way I have.
Sounds good. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the work that you do inside of schools?
Inside of schools, about 80% of my time, I'm a bureaucrat. I am shuffling through special education paperwork and working with multiple agencies and teachers. The other 20% of the time is really directed on helping teachers and kids thrive and, you know, get what they need out of education and life. So right now, that's what I do in the schools.
How has your work changed in the last few months with the change of our schools due to COVID and how people are interacting with it?
That 20% of my time is getting added to a lot. So if you can exceed 100%, that's where I am right now with my time, adding into it. But I actually, for obvious reasons, I would much rather be working in helping out in wellness and mental health and the paperwork stuff. So I've actually, and this is going to sound kind of crazy, I've actually really enjoyed the last couple months for that reason. It's been, you know, every time when you work in mental health capacities, there's this kind of like crappy dynamic where a tragedy will occur, like a national tragedy or a local tragedy, or obviously a global tragedy. And all of a sudden there's this heightened awareness on mental health. And those of us in the biz, we have this awareness all the time. And yeah. it's kind of like you get this opportunity for the spotlight to shine a little bit. And I really appreciate you, Ian, and what you guys are doing to do that. And any sort of light in this area is, it's our job as mental health practitioners to, you know, squeeze it for every last bit that we can get, because even after a global pandemic or after a tragedy, there's still going to be needs. And we want to help, you know, people deserve to be well. And these are times where we can actually come together and really focus on that stuff.
Absolutely. So I got the opportunity to interview you, you know, in the before time, before the pandemic, back when we were allowed to meet in person. And you talked a lot about the social emotional learning that you were teaching teachers about, and really helping them to help their students to feel well and do well in school. What can teachers do to support parents right now?
Oh man, it's such an important question. And it's like, we got to be careful how to answer this, right? Because so many teachers are also parents. And then what we're finding out nowadays is who helps the helpers? So, right? If you work with a school nurse right now, or if you work with any healthcare capacity, anybody in healthcare right now, anybody working on the front lines of this pandemic, they need support. And I would argue that educators are on the front lines of this as well, right? Like different capacities. So who helps the helpers is a huge question. And again, going back to like this increased awareness about what does it mean? The only people that can really help us are ourselves. I wish I could reach across the table to folks or across Zoom and give them the help and the comfort that they truly need. But any mental health practitioner worth their salt will tell you, we're kind of more in the art of nudging. We can't change things. We want to be able to bounce ideas and process information. So in these days of increased stress and what educators, how can they help parents and how can they help each other? It really is all about, and I don't mean this in some cliche, cheesy way, but self-care and being selfish with your time, like 100% elbowing out time in your day to focus on wellness, which if you want to go just simple is diet, sleep, and exercise. If we can get caught up in our heads about, oh, I've got to practice my mindfulness meditation and my, you know, I've got to do all this positive thinking. And that's definitely a part of it. But if we're not taking care of just the basic necessities, are we drinking enough? Water? Let me make that clear, educators. Are we drinking enough water? There may be other options after work, right? But drinking water is important. Staying hydrated, turns out, is a crazy essential thing to our jobs and having the stamina to do the work that we have to do. Diet, you know, you could take 2 seconds looking at me and I'm not some diet guru, but, you know, just watching it, making sure we have like high protein snacks to keep us full, because that blood sugar drops, we get the hangries and we got to do Zoom online as teachers or as parents. It's rough. And then exercise, I'm starting to find out in my middle age, we get cut some slacks. It's like steps, like, you know, take a walk, go walk around the building or something. It doesn't have to be some, you know, CrossFit expansion into your life. So that's my very first obstacle. I'm the son of 2 lifelong educators. I know exactly the passion and dedication that teachers bring home. It's not unfamiliar to me. And one thing that I want every educator listening or that want to help parents and help themselves is acknowledge that you're worth it for some time. I think there's like a Maybelline commercial like this. And I just want to, I don't know if it's copyrighted, but I want teachers to adopt this and just say, hey, you're worth it. And there's a reason, because there's cascading effects. I believe there are some really high leverage practices and professions that kids rely on for their well-being and their education. And clearly at the forefront of that are parents and teachers. And so I want every parent and teacher to use this time to model, right? We don't have time in the day over Zoom to teach everything to kids, social, emotional skills, you know, resilience, everything that we throw at teachers' feet. There's just not enough time in the day. But we can do it. If I log on to Zoom and I'm enthusiastic and I'm excited to see my class, or I'm in person and we've all got masks on, but I'm still attempting to engage them, right, and showing them like, hey, this is, there's a lot more same than there is different from what we're doing right now. That modeling of our behavior and our wellness goes a long way for kids. And I would just share that with, if I was a teacher, I would share that with parents as well. Like, take care of yourself and start to reconnect with yourself so your kids can see a healthy adult. If I'm a kid and I'm stressed, the last thing I want to see is an adult kind of losing it as well, because it's almost like it comes tumbling down on kids. We really owe it to kids to owe it to ourselves to be strong and resilient. And all that really means is connecting with our core values of what it means to be a parent, what it means to be an educator.
You know, Ben, one of the things that I've done a lot of lately is Twitter chats with teachers. And a couple of weeks ago, we had a topic of social and emotional learning. And it was interesting because it usually starts with how do we show that with our students? But the teachers started to take that conversation with how do we show that to ourselves, right? And one of the biggest things that I heard the teacher saying was the need to have boundaries and not work 24/7.
Oh my God.
Because when we have the in-person teaching and now we've got the ability to work online so much, and we're kind of consistently in that we could be on 24/7. Maybe talk a little bit about the need for teachers to establish those work home boundaries.
Oh man, I'm so glad you brought up that word, because for those of us that work in mental health, that's like one of the holy grails to establish for anybody. Do we know our boundaries? Do kids know their boundaries? Do teachers, do families, do parents? And so one, boundaries are these really, they have to be explicit or it's not a boundary. If it's not explicit, it's foggy and it's nebulous and people don't know. So boundaries are explicit, right? And to be explicit, we have to really know what the heck they are. And so for every educator, what we have been talking about since probably about, I would say July, we got really invested in sharing and helping educators with this, is you won't know what your explicit boundaries are unless you can find the stakes that you've put in the ground that are your core values. And then you can start tying those boundaries and those, you know, those kind of ranges around those stakes that you've pounded into the ground. And there's so many core values out there on the planet. You could pick from hundreds of them. But we ask educators to engage in a real simple exercise of finding your top three core values. And don't just pick the core values you think you should pick because you're in the education profession. Pick the core values that like legitimately are in, like about your, in your molecular subatomic level. And I share it as an example for teachers when we're doing this is one of my core values. I'm a psychologist. I work in special education. I think I could fall into the trick of saying one of my core values is I'm just all about compassion and service and love. And those are core values that I have for sure. But I'm going to be straight up with you guys right now. One of my, like that I hold on to, like with a vice grip measure of like, you know, dedication of a core value is leisure time. I 100% will battle people for my leisure time. And that means time with my family and also time with myself. If there's something creeping in my life that's going to threaten that, that's a value that I will not, that's a boundary. I'm like, I'm sorry, that's not happening. You see that clock? I will work extra when it calls for it. But if I'm doing that every single day, yeah, you're intruding on my boundaries. And I share that because leisure time, if I were to say, you know what my core values are? Being alone or being with my family. It makes you sound like you might be a jerk or something, but all it is being honest. And I have found by being honest with myself, and then when we share this with this practice or this exercise with educators, eliminate the guilt or the shame that comes with that. If the more honest you are with yourself and you connect to these core values, that's when your boundaries start showing up. And Jared, when you say boundaries, that's what a lot of educators and a lot of just overworking people right now in the pandemic are struggling with. It's you know, and I don't even want to get into the culture of being busy means you're important or you're successful. That's a whole other topic. But for when we're just trying to give real life practical tools to teachers, please iron out tonight, tomorrow, at some point, half hour of your time, quiet place, you know, think of about all the core values. So you can call them virtues or values, whatever they are, things that define your name or your essence or your person. And really just take some time to meddle with that stuff. You'll find 8 or 9, 10, who knows how many. Round it down to 3. Because what you do from that point on is once you have your 3, just kind of, and they can change. They don't have to be static. It can be fluid. But once you stake down these core values, filter the decisions that are coming at you in your life through them. So am I going to say yes to this project if it puts me at work until 9 p.m. for the next 8 months? That really violates my core value of leisure time, but it really tickles my core value of compassion and being part of this project. Right. So you just got to go through that exercise. So real, I know it sounds, it might sound overly simple, but it's part of this process that all of us, if we had the more time to do, which we don't, it's part of acceptance and commitment therapy. And it's called committed action. And it's part of this actual therapeutic exercise. And it comes from Dr. Hayes from the University of Nevada. And I just like to just cut through the chase and say, teachers, I know you don't have time for therapy. In fact, if you live west of the Mississippi, you're kind of like, you're not like open to therapy. Everybody east of the Mississippi, you might be born with a therapist. It's just the cultural thing. So if you're not going to get therapy, do some stuff that's therapeutic. And one of these things is called committed action. And it's about committing to your core values. And you might be surprised where it leads you. You might become a more successful educator. You might find that education isn't connected to your core values. And maybe that's why you're under tons of stress. That's okay. We're not good for anybody if we're not taking care of ourselves. And that's one of the very first steps each of us should take.
Absolutely. I think that's really interesting because that's something that my husband and I have had like a lot of conversations about. He's great at setting a boundary with what work looks like, and I'm not. And I think a lot of it is because I work from home a good portion of the time, and especially during the pandemic. But one thing that we noticed was when he started working from home, all of a sudden, he went from not having his school email on his phone to, you know, responding to emails at 9 p.m. at night. And he was like, oh, who am I? What am I doing? This is not me. But it's really easy to get caught up in all these changes that are happening and new responsibilities that you do need to maybe stop and reassess right now. What's important?
You just summed it up. Stop and reassess. We're mid pandemic, entering the winter. Educators, if you're listening to this, stop and reassess before you go any further. Absolutely.
All right. We're going to take a commercial break right now. Go ahead, pause us and take this time to stop and reassess what's going on in your house. Hey, Jared, isn't it fun to use YouTube to learn more about education? I feel like there's so many resources, but sometimes it's hard to choose what to watch.
Well, that's why I love UENPDTV. This curated playlist from UEN Video follows along with Utah educators sharing their classroom and school innovations. Some of the videos are short and fun, while some others really dive deep into how schools are excelling into educational technology.
Well, you've got me hooked. Where do I find it?
It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/UENvideo and the PDTV episodes are right there in their own playlist. It's time to start watching.
All right, we're back and we're talking with Dr. Ben Springer about supporting parents during this lovely pandemic learning situation that we have happening in 2020 onto 2021. And we've been talking about a lot about parents, but what can parents do right now to support their kids' teacher?
That's a great question. So I think One thing that parents, I think all of us, myself included, since the mass closures and then attempting to return, there's two things parents have come to the realization of, I think. I don't want to, you know, I don't have any real hard numbers on this, but I think parents have just completely like began to appreciate the teaching and the teaching profession for what it is. I think there's just a little bit more of a, okay, you guys are a big deal. This is nice.
For so that's sure. the first. But that's going first, along with that, Ben, yes. like even an educator, we have a two educator family here. Teaching your own kid is easy for no one. I did not sign up for that.
Danny, you need that. That needs to be shouted out to all teachers and parents and teachers that are parents. So Danny nails it on the head here where teaching our kids is hard, period, because of all the relational and emotional kind of, I call them nerve endings. We just have nerve endings with our own kids that are exposed that we don't have with other kids. And right. I really could go into tons of detail about why, but it's kind of complicated and it has to do with attachment and all this other stuff. But the bottom line is it's hard. And if I'm a parent and I want to support a teacher, acknowledging that it's a hard work is the half the battle. This is tough, tough work. And then one thing that educators have always desperately needed from parents, and I'm actually kind of counting this as a silver lining of the global pandemic of being, you know, virtually in homes and more contact with parents. Every educator on the planet, probably from the beginning of education, public education, has needed from parents help with follow through. And parents, if you're listening, the best way to help is to set up the most basic timer on your phone, the most basic X on a calendar to say, I've got to follow up with my student's teacher about A, B, or C. If they're elementary age students, it's pretty straightforward, probably once a week, just hey, what do I need to follow up on? That one simple question to a teacher will go a very, very long way. When you've got secondary age kids and there's a lot of teachers, you know, give yourself some grace and some period, you know, to get a hold of all of them, but ask them basically the essential, the same question. Hey, I'm on follow through duty. I'm not on instruction duty. I'm a parent. I can't do the instruction part. I'm on follow through duty. Please let me know what I can follow through on. Some teachers would be like, you know what? They're good. Your kid's great. Doing great right now in class. No follow through. Some teachers would be like, oh my gosh, we're doing this stuff online. I'm having a really hard time getting any sort of output. All I need is these three big things from your student, and be that explicit and be prepared to know what you're asking for too, as a parent there. So because you got to actually follow through when you do that, but just acknowledging that it's hard work for teachers and then setting up a real basic schedule for follow through. It's good for the educator and it's good for the kid.
Absolutely. I think we always tell teachers, you know, reach out to parents once with something positive before something goes wrong. But especially like you're talking about in secondary schools, like they have so many kids. And so if parents are kind of opening the lines of communication just to check in, it can make it a lot easier for the teacher to say like, hey, just one little thing I'm a little concerned about, or everything's going really well. You should be proud. And who doesn't want to hear that?
Oh, and you know, that's going to be the majority of the time, right? If kids are participating and things are working out, the majority of things are going to be going pretty well. But remote learning, we lose a little bit of our ability to check in, and parents could help us out that way. And if you're back and face-to-face, it's the same idea.
Well, and one thing that you're saying about losing our ability to check in, you know, it seems like once we get caught into the Zoom world or to the online world, we feel like we've got to get down to brass tacks. We've only got so much time and we've just got to get these things done. And you lose some of that just talking to the kids as kids are coming into class and just, hey, I noticed that you were, you know, playing football last weekend. How'd the game go? Like, I think we lose some of that because we feel like that's not as pertinent in the online world, or we have to get right to what we're doing that day. Maybe tell us a little bit, Ben, about how can educators keep the kids at the forefront of what they're trying to accomplish when they keep getting all of these, they keep getting pulled in so many different directions?
Yeah, that is such one awesome insight, and we totally should be doing it. We got to talk to the principals about that one, right? And your curriculum directors. there's a lot of push sometimes from curriculum and principals to that brass tacks because of the way that we're organized about performance and things like that. And it would be silly for me to ignore that that's a pressure that teachers have control over, because a lot of times, you know, they're just trying to do what their principal or supervisor or advisor is asking them to do. But I think good, you know, the art, that's the science part of it. The art of teaching is knowing that to really get to brass tacks, you're wasting time if you don't build on relationship and engagement. That's what I try and tell a lot of educators that get stressed about it, is like, I love the, you know, I like to tell educators and myself, this is a practice I have, I don't mind tension. I like tension. I don't like stress, but tension is good. I want the tension of having to get to brass tacks, but also needing to connect on a meaningful level with all of my students. That's a good tension to have as an educator. It would be so easy on the flip side to just be like, you know what? I'm a compassionate educator. I'm just going to spend the next hour online talking about, you know, the real stuff, all the feelings. And that could go the other way. Not a great setup. So yeah, obviously a little bit of both. We need principals and administrators to definitely, everybody involved in this current endeavor, right? We have a really good chance, a really good opportunity to recenter on our values. When we get busy, you miss all of that. And I would argue that many of us working in education, if you like kids, you work with kids, you appreciate what education brings to the world and all the access and what it does for kids. What you really want is a meaningful connection with the kids that you're being stewards over, right? And simple things about being silly on Zoom, creating Zoom engagement if you're online, if you're in the building face-to-face with masks on, like take time to do that. If you took a little tiny bit of time of connecting, doing something silly, just a conversation, a lot of the content that you've got to get through will be more accessible anyway. So specific tips to that online, right, are creating those expectations and letting the kids know, like, I think a lot of us, and this goes for both parents and teachers, if kids have to read our minds, we're in trouble. And they're in trouble. Yep. And there's nothing wrong with being explicit when I jump onto a Zoom call and say, hey, hello, it's Mr. Springer. Today we're going to be learning about biology and whatever is in biology. Biology, I can't even say biology, right? And part of the expectations I'm going to have is like, I genuinely want to get to like know you. And this is part of getting to know you, is part of getting to know me. I like to collect comic books and go backpacking. And, you know, share some unexpected tidbits of just what it means to be a human in this time period. You can do that on Zoom and you can do that in person. We don't need to share all of our personal information and all of our personal exploits, obviously, but we need to share that we are human beings in this together and be explicit with them. Guys, this is hard. I genuinely do this because I want you to learn, and tell me, why don't you guys tell me what's hard and why do you want to be in here? And what do you want to get out of this class? You know, we talked about this kind of last time, is take this time to ask your kids questions. You can do that in Zoom. You can do it in person. And that's a really good idea both to do for your brass tack formative assessments. And it's a really good way to engage your kids for just the social time. Just ask them, how are we doing? What's the vibe? You guys cool with this? What's the situation going on? And I think when we reconnect to our human kind of part of our jobs, the curriculum and the brass tacks will come a lot more easily.
Well, and Ben, one of the things that you're describing is if we do those, you're going to do those things one way or the other. You're either going to do them proactively or reactively.
Right.
Because if you do them proactively, you're kind of looking out for the kids in advance. If you're doing it down the road, it's because something's starting to happen and you realize that you've got to do that.
That's absolutely right. And that's, you know, that becomes what's, it's so hard to like, I wish we gave like, you know, like in the military, the law enforcement, you get like decorated. You know, you got like a little color on your thing. I wish we did that in education, because it was like, that's what it would be to be a highly decorated teacher or official, is that you are preemptively seeking out connection with your kids. You're preemptively setting up rules and expectations, not doing it, retroactively. That would be like the first like brass star of an educator, is that they're like, man, I'm just going to expect that this year is going to be rough on Zoom. It's just going to be, it's going to be hard socially on everybody. So I'm going to preemptively create social games that we can do on Zoom. If we're back and everybody's in masks and it looks like some weird dystopian future, okay, I got to acknowledge that. My brass star says that I was prepared for that. And we're going to draw funny pictures on our masks one day and just look at each other funny and be just accept the strangeness of it all. And those are the moments that kids will remember. They'll look back at this bizarre time and be like, you know, I had this one teacher. Apparently she earned her brass star for preemptively engaging us and trying to make every minute that we had together meaningful. That would be a brass star for an educator. And those of us that are new to educator and we're just getting decorated at the beginning, start really slow. Set up with basic expectations. Going back to what Jared was saying, expectations really are just boundaries. It's what you're planning on the future. And you share that with kids so they don't have to read your mind. And if you can do that one solid thing of sharing expectations with kids as a brand new teacher, you're going to get decorated, in my book anyway. I will give you a badge of honor for that.
That's awesome. I know a lot of teachers who will do almost anything for a badge, like especially on their email signature.
That's right. Oh, yes.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
You might have to come up with some kind of a physical badge, though.
Yeah.
I do. I want a uniform. I want it like something that they get to display proudly at graduation.
I like it.
It's got to be made out of crayons, though. Like something cool that.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We could be into that.
One thing I just want to circle back before we get to our last question, Ben, you talked about how a lot of times like curriculum people or administrators, they just like want to focus on just like, they're really paring back the curriculum and trying to do is make it easier on teachers and easier on parents. Like we're going to try and do less, but I think sometimes they kind of suck the joy out of a situation. Like they suck out all the fun things to teach. And now like, I don't even know why I'm a teacher. So I think that's something that we need to kind of call attention to. Like we don't have to take out all of the fun. You can still do some of the things, even if you're virtual, digital, you can still do the paper, pencil, clay stuff. You just kind of got to be more creative right now, but we don't have to take out all the fun.
I am so glad you said that. And I mean, we are, we're in this business because we want to help kids. You know, I don't mean that in like the silly kind of cheesy way. We want to help kids access the world through knowledge, right? That's our job as educators. We want them to have all the opportunities that they could ever dream of by getting a good education. That's our end. That's our goal. Kids come to school wanting success and belonging. Two things. It's all they ever wanted. It's all they ever will want, whether it's on Zoom or in person with masks, social distance. And I would argue if you are an administrator or in any leadership position right now, or a teacher that is in a leadership capacity, or you're just an influential teacher, or you just want to be that, any of these things, find out. I'm spelling it out for you. If you find the avenue to give your kids a feeling of success and a sense of belonging daily, they will thrive in everything that you throw at them. It's when we bombard them with the brass tacks and meet this target and here's these essential standards, and it's all important. I don't want to make it like it's a thing about either or, but it's all about the approach. And right now in a pandemic, if we're giving pointers to parents and teachers, if you're a parent, your kids are going to be struggling at school if they don't feel success and a sense of belonging. That's just the way it's going to be. They're going to be struggling. And so instead of, you know, blaming the teachers or the system or the global pandemic, look internally and ask your kids, what can we do? What are you good at? We need to find some wins. We need to get some success here. And like, who are your buddies? Where's your pals? Who do you connect with? And those are the hard things that we got to seek out for our kids as parents. If you go to school on the flip side and kids are struggling, I guarantee you they're not feeling success or a sense of belonging in the Zoom format or in the mask format or whatever educational format you're in. Those are the root goals for what we should be doing pre, post, and during a global pandemic. And so I don't want to point fingers that administrators are being top heavy because they're just doing the best that they know how to do. And I don't want to point fingers at parents, and you guys know how it goes, and obviously we don't want to point fingers at anybody, but I think every one of us, if you're listening to this and it's something that you're interested in, conflict, for the history of how I understand mental health and growth, conflict spurs all of it. And what better time than a global pandemic for each of us to spur a little bit of growth and saying, how do we think about our kids as parents? What do you want out of education for them, right? And really, you just want them to have a little bit of success and find some good peer groups. Honestly, if I could boil it down, if I'm a teacher, I want to feel success in my content area, whatever topic that we're talking about. And I want to ensure there's a safe learning environment so kids do feel like they belong. And that goes from anything from all the racial tension that we've experienced, you know, over the past intensity of the summer leading to school year. I mean, there's so many things that kids are bubbling in and they're getting information overload. It's our jobs to give them a safe haven somewhere, right? And if I'm an administrator, go meta with this analysis. All teachers want is to feel success and a sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. That's what we got to do. We got to find the niches where our teachers are going to thrive. And there's a good chunk of us educators out there where Zoom and technology is not where we feel success. So our job is to help with that. I know that's what UEN is like dedicated to, and you guys do an exceptional job. And so, you know, that's what it's all about. Conflict can really just help us boil down what's important. And I think it's connecting to our core values and giving kids success and belonging.
All right. So just to wrap things up, I think since we've been talking so much about mental health during the pandemic, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about how can students support each other during this time? And what should students do if they see a classmate who's really struggling?
That is so great. Man, I love that question. I love that whole thing because it's the older, like for kids between, you know, preschool and about fifth grade, they're going to be relying upon the adults in the room, right, to do that. So if they're struggling, I always just coach elementary age, you know, to always open your door through questions and always be opening doors for elementary age kids to ask questions. That way the kids know how to ask for help if they need it. And if they see someone struggling, they know how to go to a helpful adult, right? The variable in that situation is be the helpful adult, like open that door. Don't get annoyed by them asking questions and then feel free to ask questions. So, but from around 10 to 11, adults' influence begins to wane and peer influence begins to start taking over. And so every year from about 10, kids get older and they rely more on the approval of their peer group than adults. And you know how that goes all the way up until adolescence into adolescence and beyond. And so if I'm an adolescent that's struggling, I really, really recommend, you know, finding your bestie. This is somebody who, a confidant that you can touch base with. And this is one of those times you can imagine pre-pandemic, and I know it has still happens during pandemic, maybe more so, but where people are like, I need kids off the screens. And I'm just, you know, I'm the father. I have two, you know, teenage kids right now. I am so grateful for their network online. I am. I'm just going to be honest with you. Of course, I want them to hang out and be social and stuff. But there's so much going on through their correspondence, through Instagram, you know, messaging and text messaging. So if I'm a teenage kid and I go, what do I need to do if I feel like I need help? Talk to a friend. Obviously, talk to an adult as well if you're comfortable with that. But talk to a friend. And then if you are a teen and you know you see text messages or you catch wind of someone really, really struggling, you know, reach out. One thing that I've been really impressed with over the years, pre-pandemic and during, is the Safe UT app. Mm-hmm. We had a report. Yep. On the Safe UT app up here of someone hearing, catching wind of a no mask party and come and they reported it on Safe UT like, hey, I think this might be a problem. And we're like so proud of this kid, this anonymous kid who said this was gonna be a problem because it would spread and, you know, it impacts school attendance and all these other things, let alone our health and whatnot. So that was, you know, Safe UT, spreading the word about that. But just having an outlet, if you know a kid or a teenager, always be evaluating the quality of their peer group and whether or not, you know, but are they talking to other kids? That's a good sign, you know, the signs that I'd be most concerned about as a parent or teacher right now is isolation. Mm-hmm. If the kids aren't talking to anybody and they're not logging in and they don't have a solid peer group, those are the kids that I'd be really, really checking in on, and in like a big way, like leveraging the resources that we have to reach out to that child or that adolescent. So just in the summary, elementary kids, be an engaging, welcoming, nice, friendly adult. That's a really good thing. And then probably on a more regular basis than you think, remind kids. I've been telling people, I've been on a broken record about, because the pandemic just is stress and anxiety all the time. And I'm just telling people, hey, do you know somebody stressed? Come up with a plan, define their role in the plan, and tell them how they can ask for help. Explain to them how they can do it. You can do those three things for elementary kids, for teenagers, or for adults. All of a sudden, it feels like somebody kind of took a little weight off our shoulder. Like, wait, there's a plan? Yeah, there's a plan. This is what we're going to do. What's my role? You have to do this. Okay. What do I do if I don't know what to do? Come here. Those are good strategies that we can share. And that would work for adults, your elementary age kids, and your teenagers.
That's awesome. Ben, you've been so useful. Thank you.
Oh, hey. Try.
Yeah, Ben, really appreciate how you're breaking everything down into simple things that people can do after listening to this podcast.
Great. Well, hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
So Danny, I've got our tech tip for today. Oh, I'm going to play off of something that Dr. Springer shared with us. He shared with us the Safe UT app. Have you explored this great app that the state of Utah has provided for educators and parents and students?
You know, I'm going to be honest. I've heard about the Safe UT app, but I have not downloaded it. So why don't you tell me why I should?
So it's really designed to help people who are worried about a student in crisis or multiple students in crisis. Mm-hmm. So if you download the Safe UT app, and if you haven't had a chance to look at it yet, it's in all the platforms, Android and Apple. But there's a couple things that you can find here. One of the things is you could start just a text chat with a grief counselor or a crisis counselor. Mm-hmm. So you could just let them know something that you're seeing. Or if you're a student, you could let them know something that you're feeling, right? Like, oh my gosh, I'm really struggling and I don't know how to deal with this. You could do that either through text, or you could actually have a phone call with somebody. Cool. Another thing that they provide for students and parents and faculty is the ability to submit tips of something that you see that may not be right. Maybe you're concerned about an issue related to mental health, or maybe you're concerned about something to do with school violence or something along those lines. So you can share an anonymous tip with members of the administration or the district to let them know kind of what you're seeing and what you're concerned about. So lots of opportunities for people, as Ben kind of mentioned in our interview today, to get involved and kind of let people know what's going on.
That is awesome. I will definitely be downloading it.
Yeah, and I've seen it used several times in local schools. This is even some of the times when people are just concerned about a kid that just, you know, you can just tell there's something that's not going on well in that kid's life. So people don't really want to always approach them in person. So this gives them an opportunity to share their concerns and hopefully get that student some help.
Right. And let the right people know and do it all anonymously, which is an added bonus, I think, for a lot of people.
So if you don't have the Safe UT app, you should download it today. Well, Danny, I know that you have talked with Dr. Springer many times in the past. Tell me a little bit about your takeaways from this episode.
You know, I thought it was really great when he talked about setting boundaries. I think that that is super important. I think teachers are chronically overworked and overstressed. And I think this was something that was happening, you know, long before the pandemic, but I think they're really reaching a breaking point right now. And I remember from my time in the classroom that like Diet Coke was, you know, kind of the food source for the whole day. And that is not food, teachers. So Listen to Dr. Springer. Maybe something small could be that you're going to eat breakfast every single day for the rest of 2020, or you're going to set whatever the boundary is and you're going to put away the laptop and the cell phone and try and get to bed before 11, or just some of those little things that he said that could really help.
Yeah, Danny, I couldn't agree more. I think the thing that stood out so much to me in our interview today was the practical steps that Dr. Springer gave us, just to have some place that you can go with information, right? Like he not only shared kind of the theory, but he gave people a really good practical way that they can get involved or kind of look out for themselves, or for the parents, for the students.
Absolutely. So thank everyone for listening. Hopefully you learned something today that's going to make 2021 even better. Kind of a low bar, but you know.
Well, we thank all of our listening audience. We hope you've had a great year with us in UEN Homeroom, and we look forward to more episodes in 2021.
Thanks, guys.